This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. Tomorrow, the Supreme Court hears oral arguments in a pair of challenges to President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan. Nearly half a trillion dollars worth of debt relief is at stake, and whatever the court decides could affect really tens of millions of people. It's a big test of executive power that pits a conservative and skeptical Supreme Court against an administration that had been ambitious with how it has responded to the economic instability caused by the COVID pandemic. It is Monday, so our Legal Eagle is here, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so they're hearing two cases tomorrow which cover similar ground. One case brought by six Republican-led states, the other brought by two student loan borrowers and a conservative group that is representing them. What are the arguments?
So they're, as you said, very similar. They're both basically arguing two things. One, we have standing to sue, meaning in both cases, we're injured enough, we're the right people to bring these claims. And the other thing they're arguing is that the Secretary of Education just didn't have the power under a federal law known as the HEROES Act to provide this type of student loan relief. Now, a lot of details, obviously, in both of those different arguments, but they both come down to one, yes, we can be here. Yes, we can sue. And then two, Secretary of Education, you overstepped. You did not have the statutory authority to implement this program.
So is it possible that the court would just rule on the standing issue and say, and not really rule on the merits of the case? And then if that happens, then what?
Then nobody, in fact, can challenge this particular program. I think it's entirely possible. I think there are very real standing issues in this case. I know for a lot of people, maybe it doesn't sound that sexy to talk about standing. You and I have talked about it in a lot of big cases. And basically, as you said, there's two cases, one dealing with Republican-led states, another dealing with individual borrowers. And in both cases, the Biden administration has said, we really don't think you're harmed enough by the federal government saying we're canceling your loan debt. Just to take, for instance, the individuals who are suing, their argument is, well, we just missed the ability to be part of this program. And so we're actually harmed because we didn't get to go in and submit notes and comments so that you could have created a program that would have covered us. The Biden administration says that's too speculative. What you really are suing for is to say that the entire program shouldn't exist. And that's not enough of this kind of direct, concrete harm that we're talking about when we talk about standing.
It's so interesting. So they're saying, well, because we are not getting a piece of this, the whole thing should go. No one should get anything.
Exactly. Exactly. And so in one case, it's somebody who just earns too much, I believe. And then in another case, it's somebody who can't get the full amount because they didn't get a Pell Grant. People who got Pell Grants can actually get more student loan relief. But in both cases, they just kind of missed the ability to fully avail themselves of the program. Now, of course, when it comes to the states, they have even different arguments for why they have standing. Some of the states are claiming will actually get less tax revenue because of how they calculate federal adjusted income and how that federal adjusted income relates to when you pay off your student loans. Biden administration basically says the same thing, one which is like, that's just conjecture, that's too speculative, and that's an injury of your own causing. But I think we're going to hear a lot tomorrow about standing, maybe even more than we hear about the HEROES Act.
So meanwhile, all the people who applied, and it is millions of people who have applied and millions of applications that have been approved, I think 16 million, those are in limbo and no one can apply now for relief. But what happens after this case is decided?
Well, obviously, of course, it depends on how it's decided. So the court should, I think, decide by June 30th. The federal government has said, basically, we might want to try and restart the program by June 30th either way. But if there's a ruling where the court says nobody has standing to sue, then the program would go into effect unless there's another suit brought by different plaintiffs and another lower court judge that tries to put the entire program on hold. But the punchline for people right now is you cannot apply. If the court says nobody has standing, My guess is that the program will go into effect. Of course, if the court says, actually, these people do have standing and the Secretary of Education overstepped their authority, then the program would not go into effect.
Okay, I want to switch gears and turn to a recent court filing in a big defamation lawsuit filed by Dominion Voting Systems against Fox News. So the network pushed a lot of false claims about a stolen election after the election, and their biggest target was Dominion, who makes election hardware and software. And here's just a bit of what Fox was saying back then in November 2020.
We don't know how many votes were stolen. We don't know anything about the software that many say was rigged.
Attorney Sidney Powell is leading the charge against Dominion, and she says she has enough evidence of fraud to launch a massive criminal investigation.
That is where the fraud took place, where they were flipping votes in the computer system or adding votes that did not exist.
No one knows their ownership. It is the most ludicrous, irresponsible, and rancid system.
Okay, Lou Dobbs, attorney Sidney Powell, Maria Bartiromo, Tucker Carlson, all in that waterfall of clips. Meanwhile, the text messages, their private text messages, were released recently, and they're saying opposite things, right? And this is at the heart of what Dominion is claiming, that there was a malicious intent to defame it.
Exactly. One of the things you need in a case like this, when we're talking about public figures, is you need to show that the defendants had actual malice. Typically, that's really difficult. So for a defamation case that Dominion's bringing, you have to show publication of a statement of fact, and you have to show that the statement was made with actual malice and that it would harm the plaintiff's reputation. Actual malice is a really difficult standard because you have to show that the defendant, in this case, Fox, that they knew what they were saying was false, or that they recklessly disregarded the falsity. Typically, you need a smoking gun. I would say the text messages in this case, it's getting pretty close to a smoking gun. I mean, you have various Fox hosts saying things like, Sidney Powell is lying, by the way. I caught her. It's insane. That's Tucker Carlson to Laura Ingraham. Laura responding, Sidney is a complete nut. No one will work with her. Ditto with Rudy. And so in these text messages, what we see isn't just that Fox News hosts are putting people on their program and purporting to discuss this as, you know, potentially there is fraud, but that they know really that there's nothing there. And that's we're getting very, very close to what you need for actual malice. And what Fox will claim is, well, we're just reporting on a story, but they're actually amplifying this false narrative. They're not just saying people say. In other portions here, I think they are either saying or getting very close to saying, and there's some merit to these claims.
So Dominion is seeking $1.5 billion in damages. And do you think this will go to trial, or will there be a summary judgment?
So in this case, there is potentially a summary judgment. It would mean that there are no genuine disputes of facts, that a judge can make this determination. I don't think that's what Fox wants. At this point, I think not at the point of predictions at this point.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. We will undoubtedly talk to you about this further down the road. Jessica Levinson, our regular legal eagle here on Press Play. She teaches at Loyola Law School. Jessica, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, California is considering banning the use of police dogs to arrest people.
Every time they would look at, you know, a reflection of themselves, they would see a dog bite on their shoulder or on their thigh. And it was just a constant reminder of that terror and that trauma.
Authorities have used dogs to subjugate people for centuries. The story of dogs and policing from Columbus to the present day, that is next on Press Play.